Beloved, you are listening to Grace Life Komi Podcast, a platform commissioned by God to raise men into completeness in Christ Jesus. We believe that you will be blessed beyond measure as you give yourself wholly to this divinely inspired teaching. Through God's servant Pastor Chimdi Ohahuna, grace to you, Jesus is Lord.
Success of miracles of Jesus all through the year 2023, and for bringing us even to 2024 miracles of Jesus. We give you the praise and glory. We give you the honor and thanksgiving. We say hallowed be your name forever in the name of Jesus. Abba Father, we thank you for what you are set to do this year. We thank you, Lord, for the great words you shall reveal to us. We thank you for insight. We thank you for revelation. We thank you for understanding. We thank you for clarity. Blessed be your name. Sweet Holy Spirit, you are the teacher of the word. You are the revealer of the deep things of the Father. We ask that you reveal Jesus to us today. Amen. Thank you, Lord and King. In Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen and amen. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah, hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Want to especially once again say Happy New Year to all our listeners all over the nations of the world. We give God thanks and praise for bringing us to this glorious year. The year 2024 has been declared by the Lord to us as a year of goodness, the year of God's goodness. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. And from the 15th of December down to the 31st of December, we're looking at the word goodness as in Genesis chapter 1. Amen to Jesus. We have not exhausted it. We'll continue. Amen to Jesus. We'll continue in this month of January. We want to do the little we can do to go into the subject of goodness. Praise God forevermore. And get some depth of understanding. Good. The word good is rich. And I remember this morning I woke up again and I was just saying, it's good. It's good. You see, good transformed my reasoning last year. I learned quite a lot and it really helped me. Amen to Jesus. And all right, last year we began Miracles of Jesus March 2023. And it was awesome. Miracle of Jesus was awesome. And in 2023, and the first miracle took us 3 months. The second miracle took us 3 months. We are on the third miracle. And we are still on. And let's see how the Lord will help us. Amen to Jesus. We are on the miracle of the sick man at the pool of Bethesda. Sick man at the pool of Bethesda. And we have been looking at it. And we have been learning quite a lot. We understood in our previous study, we looked at the history on the pool of Bethesda and its application in this miracle, because we understood very well that every miracle was broad. It was beyond just the surface. And basically, as students of the Word of God, everything in scriptures, every word, every place, every alphabet, every punctuation mark is very important in conveying the truth that God wants us to learn. We looked at the sheep market. We looked at the sheep gate. These were synonymous places. These were very specific places in this miracle. The sheep market, the sheep gate. We understood the King James says the sheep market, but actually it was a sheep gate that was being referred to. But there was also a sheep market. We understood how this sheep market, what the sheep market and this sheep gate implied. Amen to Jesus. We understood that the sheep gate was, you know, symbolic for the cross that Jesus, you know, hung on. Amen to Jesus. We began to look at the pool of Bethesda itself. The sheep market, the sheep gate were very powerful, you know, expose. And I will encourage all our listeners to go listen to them. They will bless your life richly. All right, we're looking at the pool of Bethesda. And we understood that the pool of Bethesda, you know, it dated back to the Hellenistic period where in Jerusalem and it was actually a period where the Roman government was strong over the Jews. Amen to Jesus. The Greek were the ones in charge. The Jews were colonies of the Greeks. Praise God forevermore. And we understood that the Greek, they built temple for the an idol they believed was an idol that heals, called Asclepius. Asclepius. And this idol or Asclepion, sorry, amen to Jesus, they are god of healing called Asclepion. And they build different temples called Asclepiuses for Asclepion. Amen. And in these temples, they had pools. These pools were pools that people who were sick would go there, and then they they bathe in the water and they stay in the walls, amen, of the temple. And at night, the Asclepion will send his messenger, which is a snake, amen, to Jesus, to come and minister to them, amen, to Jesus. Now, so this was a belief by the Greek. Praise God forevermore. It was a belief by the Greek. And also they believed that Asclepion caused a churning in the water, when people come into the water, when the water is churned, they get healed. That also, aside that, the Jews also had their belief that an angel came to stir the water. And when he stirred the water once in a year, whosoever jumped into the water at that point will get healed. Amen to Jesus. Another side, archaeological facts also reveal to us that this pool of Bethesda was a pool that was supplied by a natural spring. It was supplied water by natural source underneath. You know, every ocean has a natural source that supplies it next to the Atlantic Ocean. So it was supplied by natural source underneath. And due to earth movements, like we know happens, waves in oceans are earth movement, the end result of earth movements. Due to earth movement, what happens is that there's a churning in the water. So while archaeology had its own point of view, the Greek had their own point of view, the Jews had their own point of view, it brought a point of confusion. And Jesus actually came to this pool to end the confusion for this sick man. Amen to Jesus. That's what he actually came to do. And this confusion had caused a stronghold in the mind of this man. That was why when he was face to face with the mercy of God, he was still holding on to his stronghold. Are we together? And that's why strongholds are dangerous. You see, one of the greatest challenges we have in the Christian world, I've seen over the years in ministry, in teaching the word of God, in preaching the word of God, one of the greatest challenges I have seen over the years is dealing with mental strongholds. Dealing with mental strongholds. In fact, I got to a point where I made up my mind that I will never deal with mental strongholds. Now, if the word of God cannot change your mind, there's literally nothing I can do. But Lord, allow the word of God change your mind. I was talking to somebody and I told the person, I can't change your mind. The person said, nobody can change my mind. Only God. I said, even the way you are, now, even God cannot change your mind if you are not careful. And I left him. You know, I've come a long way and I've understood that my job is not to change people's mind. Mental strongholds come over time. The word bondage is made from two syllables, bond and age, which is a bond that has been for ages. So mental strongholds don't come overnight, they come over time. Bondages don't come overnight, they come over time. So it takes the power of God's word to break a bondage in the mind that has been over time. That was why Jesus came to that pool. He came to that pool to break the bond that has been on the mind of that man over time. 38 years he had been in that pool. 38 years. That means he had had a mental stronghold for 38 years. That's not a small time to be bound in the mind. Are we together? Jesus healed the woman who was bent over. And he said, is this not the daughter of Abraham that is bound? And he said, and he decreed, and he said, they should lose her and let her go. And then she was straightened up. Now, that was a bondage in the body. But the bondage of the mind is more dangerous because it can lead to bondage in the body. Mental strongholds can destroy everything. So the pool of Bethesda was not just a miracle for a man's body. It was a miracle for a man's mind. It was a soul miracle because he had that bondage for 38 years. 38 years is no joke. It's no child's play. 30 years is no child's play, let alone adding 8 to the 30. In fact, 3 years is no child's play. Are you getting what I'm saying? 3 years is no child's play. Then have 38 years of mental bondage. His mind was in shackles. In shackles. Just like the madman of Gadara. He broke the chains that they used to chain him on the outside. But the real chain was on the inside. So the more he broke the chain as an expression of his desire for the spiritual bondage to be chains to be broken, he could not see attain it until Jesus came. So whenever Jesus comes, he comes to deal with what? Bondages. Mental bondages, spiritual bondages. Because once the spiritual bondage is broken, the physical one will be dealt with. Once the mental bondage is broken, the physical one will be dealt with. So that was the challenge with this man. It was a miracle of what? Mental bondage. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that's why Jesus came there. Jesus came there to deal with that matter. Amen to Jesus. And we understood very well that as children of God, in our journeys, if we are not careful, we could pick up mental bondages. We could keep pick up mental bondages of different kinds. And our responsibility is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, which says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Christ, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, the word imagination means thoughts. It also means barrier. The Greek word for imaginations means thoughts. Thoughts. It also means barrier. So there are barriers that could be placed in our mind. And this barrier will prevent God from having access to us. Are we together? Over the years, I've learned in ministry that when you are dealing with people, you don't deal with them physically. You deal with the strongholds in their mind. So one of the best things to do is to pray for mental strongholds to be dealt with. When mental strongholds are dealt with, your work becomes so cheap. It becomes a walkover. More often than not, we are trying to do what God will do. And so we get frustrated. We hit the rock. You are trying to change people's mind. You're going to waste your whole energies, your whole time, and it's not going to work. Some of the times, I always tell people, it's only three things that change the mind of people: God and situations and circumstances. Now, so and most of them not, God allows situations and circumstances for them to get their mind changed. The story about the prodigal son, the Bible says, and when he came to his senses, it means he lost his senses. Are we together? He lost his senses. It was a mental stronghold that messed him up. But the Bible says he came to his senses. What made him come to his senses? The situations and circumstances he was living in. They made him come to his word. To his senses, praise God forevermore. So more often than not, as Christians, in our journey, we pick up different mental strongholds, mental barriers to God. We place a barrier in between us and God, and God cannot have access to us. Amen to Jesus. Now, Jesus coming to this man, he came to deal with the mental stronghold, which was a barrier between him and his miracle. Amen to Jesus. Now, if the whole pool was shrouded with so much confusion, are we together? If the whole pool was shrouded with so much confusion, then it's important that Jesus had to show up. Praise God forevermore. It's important that Jesus had to what? Had to show up. It's important he had to show up. Since the whole pool was shrouded with so much confusion. And that's what Jesus does in every life. Every life where there's confusion, Jesus shows up. Amen to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. All right, now we're going to be looking at, still in line of this miracle. Now, Jesus came to deal with mental stronghold. Amen to Jesus. Now, what does it take to break strongholds in the mind? You see, the Bible says our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Of strongholds. 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 If strongholds are not dealt with in the mind, if strongholds in the mind are not dealt with, I tell you, there's no much that can be achieved. Praise God forevermore. No much can be achieved for the Lord. So we are going to be looking at what it takes to break strongholds. See, Jesus came face to face with this man. He came face to face with, he came to this man, and this man was all messed up for 38 years. The Greek ideology of the pool was there. The Jewish ideology of the pool was there. Archaeological ideology of the pool was there. So three confusing situations all messed up together, mingled up together, messing up the man's mind. Amen to Jesus. And the man was expecting a miracle. This man is just a typical example of many people today. Not just only unbelievers, but also believers. Praise God forevermore. You know, I'm a missionary, and I have seen what, you know, different, at least three ministry locations can offer to you. There was a ministry location where we were. There was a mission street where we were. And in the mission street, they act, when they come to church on Sunday, the next Sunday, you don't see them in church. Next Sunday, you don't see them in church. And then you ask them, why didn't you come to church? They say, that their family members tell them, but you came to church last 2 weeks. You wait small. It's not every Sunday they go to church. You wait small. After another 3 weeks again before you go to church. That's a stronghold. It was their way of thinking. And you see, talking could not change it. Over the years, I've learned not to talk. I've learned to use my knees more than my mouth. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. If after I have seen things in ministry, you talk, and at the end of the day, the stronghold is still there, man, use your knees. Are we together?
And you know, one of my pastors then on campus said his uncle, when his uncle goes to church today, on this Sunday, the next time you see him is maybe 1 month after. And they ask the uncle, why are we not seeing you in church? Uncle, we say, you see, that word I heard 4 Sundays ago, I have to digest it. I have to digest it. And I need 1 month to digest the word before I come again. These are mental strongholds. Will you fight, uncle? Are you getting what I'm saying? These are mental strongholds. See, I'm not talking to unbelievers here now. I'm talking to believers. These are mental strongholds that have brought barriers between us and God. Are you getting what I'm saying? And God cannot have a full access into our lives. Amen to Jesus. Now, so, and this is what shrouded the pool. And that's what made us understand in the last teaching that some of the times we just take some things in scripture, in the Bible, on the surface, and we begin to use it. Now, the pool of Bethesda was shrouded with many, many issues. And anybody who digs deep into this study, I don't expect him to go and start creating pools in his what? In his ministry location. Jesus came to solve the confusion. Why should you not bring people back to the confusion? That's what his ministry was. He came to that pool to solve the confusion that was shrouding the pool. So we shouldn't bring people back to that confusion. We should bring them to Jesus, the solution to the confusion. Are we together? And so if you look at Christians, a lot of Christians, they are shrouded in many things. Why in other ministry location, there are different things that different factors that lead to the way they think, their ideology towards Jesus, their ideology towards church, they hold Jesus with one hand and hold family tradition with another hand. For them, there is a way that family has said it is. Jesus cannot change it. Remember, I was talking to a relative once, and I quoted the scripture for the relative. And the relative told me, "Say, but that one does not apply to family member." But that one does not apply to family. I said, "What?" I kept quiet because this person was older than me. So if you have scriptures that apply to family members, and scriptures that don't apply to family members, then I don't know what we are doing. Are we together? Now, these are the various things that, you know, these are the various pool of Bethesda that are keeping many Christians in what? In mental bondages. Jesus comes to bring clarity and end the confusion. That's why Jesus comes. And that's the reason why the Word of God must be our basis. The Word of God must be our basis. Amen to Jesus. The Word of God must be our basis. And that's why we need to study more. We need to go deeper in the Word of God. Not just take things in the surface. You know, when I saw this pool of Bethesda, I was like, "Lord, mercy, mercy." That's why we need to go deeper. We can't just take things in the surface and say we are all good. No, we are not all good. We have to go deeper in the Word of God and get clarity. Amen to Jesus. Now, it's important we know that the duration of the sickness of the man at the pool of Bethesda was due to the stronghold in his mind. Very important. This sickness lasted for 38 years because of the stronghold in his mind, not because of the sickness. Now, we need to understand something, that the devil has no right to inflict anything on us so long as our mind permits him. I get what I'm saying? Bible says the God of all peace, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10, the God of all peace who has called you unto eternal glory after that ye have suffered for a while, establish you, strengthen you, perfect you, and settle you. Now the word "a while" there in the Greek means a season. And we know that seasons are, at least in African setting, are 3 months. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, 3 months. 6 months is not meant to last more than a season. So it means that if that suffering is lasting more than a season, are we together? It's not God that is permitting it. It's your mental stronghold that is what? Permitting it. Bible scholars make us understand that Job's suffering lasted for 12 months. Are we together? But it was a prolonged suffering because it was meant to last for a season. But Job, because of his mental stronghold, when he got to a point and he started cursing the day he was born, he started talking and talking and talking and talking. He talked till he could exhaust all he had to say. And God started telling him, "Okay, can I talk now?" You know, he talked too much that God even kept quiet for him. Are you getting what I'm saying? When God said, "Can I talk?" And I said, "Yeah, talk." I finished talking. God said, "Okay, let me start asking you questions." When the Lord started asking questions, he now saw that he was but a man. Why? His mental stronghold. Every predicament, every pain, every sickness, every deformity, whatever you may call it, everything that is not of God, they stay for the duration our mind permits them to stay. It's all about mental stronghold. Are you getting what I'm saying? The day your mind breaks free, you are free. It's as simple as that. The day your mind breaks free, you are free. So this, see, like the Lord revealed to us in some like 3-4 years ago that Abraham was not meant to wait for 25 years for Isaac. Abraham was only meant to wait for 12 years. The 25 years, the additional 13 years was caused by Ishmael. And that was because of Abraham's what? Abraham's branching. He branched. Are you getting what I'm saying? When he branched, Ishmael came out of the branching. And Ishmael was 13 years by the time Isaac was born. So Ishmael had taken 13 years out of the process. Sorry, he had added 13 years to the process. So if Ishmael was not added to the process, to the picture, are you getting what I'm saying? Abraham would have not waited 25 years. It's all about the mental world, strongholds. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, so this man stayed in that pool for 38 years because of the mental stronghold that had been in his mind. The Greek belief, the Jewish belief, plus archaeological facts, bringing about a confusion, but he stood on to his Greek belief, which is the Jewish belief, which was still a stronghold that had limited him for what? From having his miracle. It was a barrier between him and his miracle. He was there for 38 years. Jesus was in his 30s when he did this miracle. Are you getting what I'm saying? So from when that guy was born, Jesus was not even born when the guy started staying there. Are you getting what I'm saying? And Jesus was passing there as a child. He was seeing that guy. Are you getting me? Because we learned from the previous studies that the only gate that Jesus passed, he entered into Jerusalem, it was the sheep gate. So Jesus, while he was doing his ministry for the 3 years, he was passing that sheep gate. He was seeing that man. The man was seeing Jesus. And yet, he must have been hearing that Jesus is doing miracles. And yet, his mental stronghold that was attached to that pool created a barrier between him and Christ. So he couldn't receive from Christ. Are we together? And that mental stronghold was seen in the fact that, listen to me, blind Bartimaeus saw Jesus and he said, "Jesus, that son of David, have mercy on me." He was blind, but his ears were good enough for him. Now, this sick man was not blind. He could see Jesus and he could hear about the fame of Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus only heard, he didn't see, but he was good enough to call on Jesus. The two blind men also called Jesus, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't need to touch him like the woman with the issue of blood. Your voice is enough to do the work. Are you getting what I'm saying? But this man, this sick man, saw Jesus pass through the sheep gate. The same Jesus as a miracle worker. He was passing through the sheep gate for 1 year. And yet, he was hearing that Jesus was doing miracle. But he was more concerned about the churning of the water. Mental strongholds that create a barrier between us and God and prevent God from assessing us and prevent us from assessing God. The miracle is face to face with you and you rather prefer a medium. And that's the reason why, you know, one of my mentees then, he said one of his cousins was sick and he went to pray for her in the hospital. And he wanted to pray for her, she called her pastor and her pastor said, "Look for a white handkerchief and put it in water and put it on her head." And that, you know, the devil is bad. It's that particular point in time that you will not see white handkerchief. As popular as white handkerchief can be, that's where you will not see it. They were looking for white handkerchief. They couldn't find white handkerchief. And it was like, what if this girl dies in the presence of looking for white handkerchief? And he even tried to pray for her, but he said that she didn't have faith in the prayer I was going to pray. She had faith in the white handkerchief. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so he just mumbled some words out and he left. That is the same scenario. Are you getting what I'm saying? Jesus is passing. No, I prefer the pool of Bethesda. I prefer the angel that stirs the pool. Now, the angel, if at all, is an angel. It's just a ministering spirit. It's just a servant. It's just a messenger. But we are talking about God himself. It's not a messenger. Passing. And yet, you prefer a messenger because of a mental stronghold. Because of a barrier you have placed in your mind. And that's what mental strongholds can do. No wonder Jesus stood in his triumphant entry and he looked at Jerusalem and he shook his head and he said, "Oh Jerusalem, I wish you have allowed me to cover you the way a hen covers her chick, but you will not allow me because of your mental stronghold." So mental strongholds always create a barrier between us and God. Our miracles are just a stronghold away. If you can just let go of the stronghold, you have just gotten a miracle. It's as simple as that. Very simple. So more often than not, we are praying for God to do something, but God is actually telling us, pull down some things in your mind. It might have been society that might have taught you, it might have been religion that must have taught you, that whatever must have created the stronghold, pull it down. Pull it down. Pull it down. When Jesus came before the man was still holding on to his stronghold. What do you want? I have no man to help me. See, they stir the water. Angel is to come and stir the water. Angel comes. Once they say, I'm telling you. See, this is what happened. Let me explain to you. I know the problem thing about people with mental struggle. They will actually be explaining to you. You have the solution to their problem, but they will be trying to educate you. They will be trying to help you that is trying to help them. Let me explain to you. See, Angel comes. So he stirs the water. When he stirs the water, fear starts to enter. Ah, this is not the God. It's our first come, first serve. That's not God. The mercy of God is endless. If it's a first come, first serve God, then God's mercy is limited. If it's a first come, first serve God, then His grace is limited. That's why I said many are called. This miracle, this pool of Bethesda negates the many are called approach of God. I get what I'm saying? He negates it. First come, first serve. That's not God. That's not God. I get what I'm saying? So who first enters is the one that we get healed. Jesus said, I'm trying to explain to you that you are having a stronghold in your mind and you cannot understand the way I operate. Are we together? Amen to Jesus. And so we need to understand that every challenge in life is the end product of what? Mental. The duration is the end product of mental stronghold. The day you break the stronghold in your mind, that's the day you get deliverance from the challenge. It's as simple as that. Amen to Jesus. I remember the story of Joel Austin's mother. Said she had cancer of the breast. And she went to every healing minister to be prayed for. Oral Robot, T.L. Osborne, Kenneth Hagin. Those are the three giants in America then. All the healing ministers to be prayed for. They prayed for her. Yet, she didn't get healed. Ah, she said, what is this one? And said she decided at home, this matter, I have to deal with it by myself. She went and took 40 scriptures of healing from the Bible. And started taking them. The Bible says, my son, pay attention to my words. For their life to those who find them. And health to all their flesh. The word health there, the Hebrew word for health there means medicine. Medicine. So the word of God is medicine. So she started taking them 3 times daily. 40 scriptures, she confessed them to her system in the morning. 40 scriptures on healing in the afternoon. 40 scriptures on healing in the evening. 3 times, they are life to those who find them to what? They are medicine to your flesh. She confessed those 40 scriptures on healing 3 times daily. You know when you go to a doctor, will take put prescription. Take 3 times daily. She gave herself a prescription. 3 times daily. 3 times daily. In 1 month, she was looking for cancer. She didn't find cancer. She searched for cancer. She couldn't find cancer. Well, she made up her mind that she will deal with the stronghold in her mind. The stronghold in her mind was, except a healing minister lays hands for you and pray on you, you will not get healed. But God wanted to deal with that stronghold. So God allowed her, go through the stress, and God finally she understood that this thing is about me and God. Are we together? Now, so one of the problems the man faced there was a mental stronghold. Praise God forevermore. Every challenge, the duration of every challenge is dependent on the mental stronghold we have. If the mental stronghold says no, if you say no to the mental stronghold today, the challenge ends today. Praise God forevermore. The longer the stronghold in the mind, the longer the problem persists. And the shorter the stronghold, the shorter the problem persists. So the earlier the better, we do our best to ensure that, Lord, we do what? We do away with what? Mental strongholds. Mental stronghold. And see, when you see the mercy of God, Shataba. We are going to somewhere. I don't want to say that now. I will say it in the course of the teaching. Now, it only takes the mercy of God to break mental strongholds. Are we together? It only takes the mercy of God to do what? To break mental strongholds in order for miracles to happen. Now, the mercy of God showed to the madman at Gadara. And what? The stronghold in his mind and his spirit was broken. The mercy of God also showed up to this man at the pool of Bethesda. And the stronghold in his mind was also what? Was also broken. Are we together? Now, this is why this miracle reveals the double power of mercy. This particular miracle reveals the double power of mercy. And what is the double power of mercy? Number one, Jesus, the mercy of God, made flesh. Are we together? And Bethesda, the pool of mercy. This miracle was just revealing the double power of mercy. Mercy is doubly loaded. And it can break any kind of stronghold. In fact, the moment a stronghold is broken in your life, what actually happened is that mercy of God prevailed. The moment a mental stronghold is broken, what actually happens is that the mercy of God what prevailed. And that can only happen when these two factors are in place. The mercy of God made flesh in the person of Jesus, and then the pool of Bethesda, which is the pool of mercy. When the mercy of God, the person of Jesus, is present in the pool of mercy, strongholds are broken in the mind. Amen to Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Now, so what are we talking about here? The person of Jesus, which is the mercy of God, and the pool of Bethesda, which is the pool of mercy. We are talking about the person of mercy and the location of mercy. Two factors. For strongholds to be broken, especially when the person is still holding on to the stronghold. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, the madman of Gadara, he wasn't holding on to the stronghold. Are you getting what I'm saying? But this man in question here, he was holding on to the stronghold. Even when mercy came, he was explaining to mercy. What will you want me to do? He started explaining. What do you want me to do? When Jesus asked Bartimaeus, what do you want to do? He said, I want to receive my sight. Simple, what do you want me to do for you? Heal me. What do I want to do for you? Give me a restoration. This is a simple question that any rational person, any sane person should what? Should give a simple answer. But to tell you that this man was no longer rational, he was no longer sane, he was under mental stronghold. When Jesus asked him a simple question, that the same question he asked blind Bartimaeus, that blind Bartimaeus gave him a straight answer. When Jesus asked him the same question, he started giving Jesus explanation. That's what mental stronghold will do to you. And as a man of God, we'll call it manipulation. It will make you start explaining to your solution why your solution is not your solution, and why there's a solution better than your solution. And that one happens to a lot of people, especially Christians. A lot of Christians, they'll be telling their solution that there's another solution out there. So you don't understand. You don't ask my solution. You don't understand. See, there's a solution. See, that solution, is if you go to that solution, this is the way it goes. But let me tell you, Jesus never needed an explanation. He needed an answer. Yes or no. It's mental stronghold that makes you explain when you are meant to give an answer. Are we together? Praise God forevermore. Although confusion shrouded the location, it was still the best location to have been for the sick man to receive the mercy of God and get healed. Yeah, it was a confused location. We have said the reason why it was a confused location. Yes, it was a confused location. But still, it was still the best location for that man to have been. Why? Because it was still the location of mercy. Now, let me help you understand something. Mercy does not mean the absence of mercy situations. Are you getting what I'm saying? Mercy is the presence of God to make every mercy situation turn into what? A beautiful message at the end of the day. Mercy is not the absence of mercy situations. Mercy is the presence of God, even in messy situations, to make the messy situation turn into beautiful messages at the end of the day. So the location was shrouded with confusion. Are you getting what I'm saying? To shroud it with confusion, the Greek confusion was there, the Jew confusion was there, and the archaeological confusion was there. It was all confused. But still, it was still the best location for this guy. Why? Because it was a messy location. I get what I'm saying? Now, most of the time, we think that mercy is only present when everything is all fine. No. When it is all fine, when it's all naturally fine, physically fine, we don't actually see the need for mercy. When it's all messed up, that's when we see the need for mercy. Are you getting what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I tell you, so long as we're on this earth, we'd always need the mercy of God. We'd always need the mercy of God. Praise God forevermore. So we must be at the location of what? Of mercy. Praise God forevermore. Now, what matters most is if it is a location of mercy. Are we together? The location may be all confusing. Are you getting what I'm saying? It may be all, let me say what messed up. But what matters most, is it a location of mercy? Is it a location of mercy or not? If it's a location of mercy, the conditions, situation surrounding the location is not what matters. Are we together? Yeah. Other confusions and misconceptions are inconsequential and irrelevant, because the person of God's mercy will and must come to the location of God's mercy. The person of God's mercy will always come to the what? Location of God's mercy. Are we together? Now, so we need to understand something, that from the spiritual perspective, the location of God's mercy is God himself. Are you getting what I'm saying? God is his location of mercy. Are we together? Because it is very mercy. Are we together? But also physically, there are physical locations of mercy. Now, we need to understand that God deals with locations too. Are you getting me? He deals with locations. And locations matter a lot. Jacob was traveling and he got to a point and he made his pillow with stones. And as he made the pillow with a stone, he saw the heavens open and a ladder came from heaven and angels were ascending and descending. And he said, God was here and I never knew. That same place when Joseph was traveling to Laban's house some years ago. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting me? When he was traveling to Laban's house some years ago, he passed that location, but he never slept there. Are you getting me? But coming back, leaving Laban's house, he slept in that location. And he said, so God was here and I never knew. It was a location of mercy. But he had to locate that location at that point in time. Are we together? That was a location of mercy. And when it was done, he built an altar. Are we together? There are locations of mercy in physical locations. There are locations of mercy. God specifically, it's just that we don't idolize them. Are you getting what I'm saying? But God takes us to locations of mercy because of what he wants to give to us per time. Are we together? What he wants to give to us per time. Sometimes God will have to change you from a location to another location just to give you an encounter. And because that's your mercy location. The first location where I did ministry, I call it my location of calling. The second location where I began pioneering the ministry. First location I began pioneering the ministry, I call it my location of calling. It was the location of mercy. Second location, I call it my location of purging. Are we together? My location of purging. These are all locations and they are important. Are we together? So locations matter. Because when the person of God's mercy meets you at the location of his mercy, a miracle is bettered. A miracle is bettered. Are we together? And that's the reason why we must be sensitive to the leadings of the Lord. We must be sensitive to the leadings of the Lord. To the leadings of the Lord. We must be sensitive to the leadings of the Lord. We must be very sensitive to his leading. We should not take his leading for granted. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. And now, like I said, the mercy location does not mean that everything is all fine. You get what I'm saying? See, the mercy location is not about the location. It's about you. Are you getting me? It's what God wants to do in your life. So the location may be messed up, because if you look at Bethesda was not a classy place. It was not a place where people of, even the average people we go to, let alone those of class and reputation we go to. Because there's a place where the sick were always hanging around. And it's actually believed that they used to bath inside the water. So imagine people that are having different kind of sicknesses. Some of them that even have some kind of maybe pus emissions from their body, bath inside the same water. Are you getting me? So it was a very smelly, not a nice place to be. It's also believed that it was a pool where the Greek also could wash their animals. Are we together? So it was not a nice place to be. It was not a place that the average man wants to go to. So it was a messy, very messy environment. Are we together? But despite the fact that it was a physically messy environment, that was the environment that mercy saw to do what? To work. Are we together? That's the environment that mercy saw to work. Praise God forevermore. So most of the time, most of us, that we are looking for messy location, we're looking for all beautiful, all touched up, all wonderful locations, and we get it wrong there. Are we together? The locations that have done ministry, all the two locations, they were messy environments. They were not nice environments to be in. Are you getting what I'm saying? But they were important for the mercy of God to meet me at each point in time. Even the one currently, I'm not like I'm enjoying it. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not like it's all nice an environment, but it's important for the mercy of God, because the mercy of God meets us in messy locations to create the miracles we need. Are we getting what I'm saying? But one thing we should do is that we should make sure that the messy environment does not create a stronghold in our mind, that when the mercy of God now comes to us, we now begin to allow the stronghold to stand as a barrier to the mercy of God. So what does that mean? In the messy location, we should not allow the mess in the messy location mess up our mind. Are we together? Yes. Praise God forevermore. As Jesus said, I send you in the as sheep among amongst wolves. Among wolves. He said, but you are in the world, but you are not what? Of the world. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. So look, the word Bethesda is of Hebrew origin and also from Aramaic origin. Praise God. From Chaldean origin. Praise God forevermore. And Bethesda means house of kindness. House of kindness. The word mercy in the Hebrew, which is the word kesed, means loving kindness. Are you getting what I'm saying? Loving kindness. So Bethesda is what? The house of the loving kindness of God. Are we together? So it was a messy location that the person of mercy had to meet this messed up man who had a mental... See, this miracle is very important because we're talking about a mental stronghold for 38 years. No miracle had this length. Are you getting what I'm saying? Stronghold, mental stronghold for 38 years. 38 years. Not 3 years, 8 months. So 38 years. Man, that is some stronghold. And he has been in that place for 38 years. Confusion shrouded his mind for 38 years. And Jesus had to show up to deal with the mental stronghold. Are we together? Today in the church, we have a lot of Christians who have their minds messed up. You are trying to reorient them. You now use from quotes like this and say, the only educated people are people who learn how to learn, unlearn, and relearn. Even after you say that to them, they look at you and they say, we are not learning, unlearning, and relearning. This stronghold, as it was, so shall it be now and forever. I remember I used to say, I used to tell people, Kiyosaki will say, the only proof of madness is doing the same thing and expecting the same result. After you tell them like that, they will tell you, we are mad, we shall remain mad, we will forever remain mad. There's nothing you can do. When you meet those kind of people, man, you need the mercy of God. You invoke mercy. You invoke mercy. You invoke mercy. It's not talking. Some of us have talked long, we have kept quiet. We have learned how to invoke mercy. Yeah, you invoke mercy. Even when some of us were talking, we didn't know ourselves, we even had stronghold in our mind. We even had stronghold. God had to move me from Nigeria to Congo to deal with some mental stronghold. After God, I say, you mean this way I was thinking? I didn't know they had mental stronghold. Barrier. Are you getting what I'm saying? So some of the times, we even think that we don't have stronghold in our minds, and we are trying to help people that have stronghold. Unknown to us, we even have strongholds that we are meant to deal with while we are trying to help people. Some of the time when we look at ministers of God, we think that they all have their life fixed up. No. The ones that say they're all fixed up, thank God for their life. But people like us are not fixed up. We still have strongholds we are still dealing with. Yeah. We are still crying for the mercy of God to deal with some mental stronghold so that we can remove the barrier. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. So this place was called House of Mercy. Are we together? Now in the Hebrew and Aramaic, it could also mean shame or disgrace. So if you go to the root words also for this Bethesda, it also means shame or disgrace. So while in one way, it means mercy. In another way, it means shame. See, that's why we like studying these things like this. So that we understand what Jesus came to do. Now, mercy is not the absence of of shame and disgrace. Are you getting what I'm saying? Shame and disgrace are lurking around. But you know what? Mercy comes in to deal with what? Shame and disgrace, and brings about glory instead of shame and disgrace. Now, the Bible says, for your shame you shall have double. That's Isaiah. I think Isaiah chapter 54. It says, for your shame you shall have double. And for your reproach, they shall rejoice in the allotment. If you look at the King James, King James says, for your shame. So it makes it look like, so after you have shame, God will not give you double. So you first go through shame, then God will give you double. But if you look at other translation and go down to the roots, you discover that it doesn't say for your shame. It actually says, instead of shame. By right, you are meant to have shame. Says instead of shame, you will have what? Double. So the same pool that means The same pool that means mercy is the same pool that means shame and disgrace. What does that mean? It means that the mercy of God is always on the standby to prevent shame and disgrace. This man was there for 38 years, and people were looking at him. 38 years, sir. Are you not tired? In fact, you should have packed up and died. By now, you should have given up. Nobody can help you. I'm not going to that subject of I have no man to help me, because that's another subject on his own. Nobody can help you. Oh, how I wish the man were to be like that paralyzed man, who his four friends carried him, and they removed the rooftop of the house, and they laid him down, and Jesus saw the faith of his four friends. Jesus did not see the faith of the man. It was the faith of his four friends. Who knows? Maybe the man had given up hope in life of getting healed. But his friend said, we'll let you go like this. We'll let you remain like this. We heard that Jesus is in Mr. So-so-so's house. We are carrying you today. The man said, leave me. He said, if you say leave me, we'll leave you. They bundled him. They took ropes. When they got to the house, they saw that the whole house was jam-packed full. And there was overflow outside. Where will we get to see Jesus? Nobody will give way for us to see Jesus. Who wants to give his seat? Nobody will. This is not even seat. Who wants to give his stand? Nobody will give his stand. They say there's no problem. Where there is a way, there is a way. They climb the roof. Remove rooftop. The owner of the house said, you are spoiling my house. They said, we spoil it for a miracle. After the miracle, we repaired back. Jesus said, let them be. Let them spoil it. Let them spoil it. If they can't to spoil this house for a miracle, let them spoil it. They spoil the house for a miracle. After they go to a miracle, how much is it? We, his friends, we take care of it. I wish this man has such kind of a friend. But I tell you, not everybody has such kind of a friend. I know what it means to have stayed in ministry for about 14 years with nobody to call a friend around me, nobody to call family. There are times I'll be alone. I will ask God, why am I alone? Lord, why am I alone? I will pray. I'll spend hours praying. Nobody to help me. I know what it means to not see help. I know what it means. I know what it means. You have helped people. You are helping, but nobody is helping you. I know what it means, sir. I know what it means. I remember I was talking to somebody else, and he told me, you passed the test of aloneness. That is why God has brought you to Hebron, where you cannot have associations. For years, nothing like association. Nothing. Is this Christmas that me and my family spent and enjoyed Christmas for the first time since we came to this mission field? Since we came, since 2017, just this last Christmas, and we are able to have people that we can celebrate with. Since 2017, all that have been around us, problem. Nobody to help you. Nobody to care about you. All they want to do is take advantage of you. I know what it means, sir. And this guy was there for 38 years in that situation. And people were looking at him, and all they saw was shame and disgrace. All they saw was reproach and embarrassment. All they saw was because the same pool that meant mercy also meant disgrace. It also meant shame. So that means it was a shameful environment where you see invalids, people that they are all messed up, they are all gathered around there. And it was a place where the elites will not go to, where the honorable will not go to. It's a place where shameful people will go to. When you know that there is no, okay, let me just go with my shame. I'm already shame personified. Let me carry my shame there. That was the location. But it's in such locations that the mercy of God shows up. Oh, yeah. Where shame looks like it's having an upper hand, that's where mercy shows up. Yeah. When disgrace looks like it's having an upper hand, that's where mercy shows up. That's where mercy shows up. That's where mercy shows up. So it was a location that was associated with all manner of diseases, and it was a shameful, shame-ridden location. But the same location is where mercy shows up. You see, when people have said this one, it will end in shame. That's where mercy shows up. I get what I'm saying? They looked at the man and they said 38 years. Now, if he was in the pool for 38 years, he didn't come there when he was born. I get what I'm saying? He must have been a little, older before he came there. So people had already started counting his remaining life left. And they said, you have been in shame for 38 years. You will end in shame. You will end in shame. Oh, this is disgrace. You will end in disgrace. But you know what? This is where the mercy of God comes in. Instead of shame, the mercy of God always gives what? He always gives double. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to you. Jesus, who is the mercy of God, made flesh, did not only come to end the confusion at the pool, he also came to end the shame and disgrace of the sick man at the pool. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. So it was not just about ending confusion. We have seen that he came to end confusion. But this was a double-packed work of miracles. It was not only about ending confusion. It was also about ending shame. Are you getting what I'm saying? And ending disgrace. Because this was, see, it can't be understood why the same location where shame and disgrace is at its peak, that's the same location where mercy will be at its peak. Why would mercy choose to inhabit a location of shame and disgrace? Because God did not come for those who are well. Jesus said, I didn't come for those who are well. He says, no man who is well goes to the hospital. He said, I didn't come for those who are well. I came for those who are sick. I came for those who already been concluded that they are all messed up. That is all over for them. Those that shame is written all over them. Those that disgrace is written over them. Those are the people I came for. And you see, that's what I came. How? This is not, it's no coincidence that the same Bethesda means pool of what? Mercy. It also means pool of shame and disgrace. Shakataradasha. It's no coincidence, my brothers, my sisters. It is no coincidence. It's no coincidence. It's no coincidence. It's no coincidence. It's no coincidence. It makes us understand clearly that the mercy of God hangs around shame and what? Disgrace. The mercy of God hangs around shame and what? Disgrace. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Why? Because that's what the mercy of God does. It's there to remove shame and to remove what? Disgrace. And this makes us understand that the mercy of God is the terminator of shame and disgrace. The mercy of God is the terminator of what? Shame. And what? Disgrace. So, Jesus ends societal and individual mental strong growth and also ends what? Individual what? Shame and disgrace. So, when Jesus is coming to Bethesda, he comes there to do what? To end societal, mental strongholds, disgrace, individual, everything that depicts shame and disgrace. That's what Jesus comes to do. So Bethesda is a place that you don't like to be because it has shame associated with it. It has disgrace associated with it, but it's also the location where mercy resides and where mercy can locate you. So some of the times we don't like our Bethesda locations. We don't like our mercy location because they don't look good. They don't look beautiful. They don't look all nice. They don't look classy. They don't look standard. Are you getting me? But you see, that's where mercy resides. And that's where mercy can locate us. And that's what Bethesda is all about. 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 It's about the confusion of shame. But God, how can you explain to me that I'm in a location of shame? I'm in a location of disgrace, and you are still telling me that mercy is still there? That's Bethesda, my brother. That's Bethesda, my sister. Lord, I can't explain. I can't understand it. It looks like I'm experiencing shame all around. I'm experiencing disgrace all around. And how can you still tell me that your mercy is here? That's Bethesda, my brother. But if you can open your eye clearly, Jesus just walked in. He just stepped into the location to end your confusion. Because you know what Bethesda is? Bethesda is another revelation of confusion. Because shame and disgrace is one side. Mercy is another side. It gives confusion to the normal man. It gives confusion to the average child of God. But Jesus has stepped in. And he stepped in to do what? To end your confusion. And to make you know that mercy always terminates shame and disgrace. So this miracle is a revelation of the mercy of God that, let me use the word, cohabits or is in the same location where there is shame and disgrace. But it will always what? Terminate shame and disgrace. So please, my brothers, my sisters, don't feel bad. When it looks like shame and disgrace is in this location, and you say, but God, are you sure you sent me here? God, is this you? This location, is this you? God, how can I be where you sent me? And yet I'm still experiencing shame and disgrace. It is because of Bethesda. Shame and disgrace is always by the side of mercy in Bethesda. So when it looks like you know that God sent you to that location, yet you are still experiencing what? Shame and disgrace. Always understand that it's mercy that is about to override the shame and disgrace. Listen to me very well, child of God. This miracle reveals to us that when the person of mercy comes to the location of mercy, shame and disgrace is terminated. I don't know whatever the situation is, whatever location you may have found yourself, that you know that God sent you there, and it looked like shame and disgrace is having an upper hand. Just entreat the mercy of God. Invite Jesus to that location again. Invite mercy to that location. And when the person of mercy steps into Bethesda, shame and disgrace is terminated. Wherever you are, whoever you are, and this is your experience, I just want you to invite the mercy of God. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Mercy, show up. Mercy, show up. You are praying. Mercy, show up. Jesus, show up.
For your love gift of any amount to Grace Life Kami Podcast, kindly use any of our giving channels available to give in dollars. You can send to Universal Merchant Bank Ghana. Account number 0331545512013. SWIFT code MBGHGHAC. To give in CDs, Universal Merchant Bank Ghana, you can send to account number 0332545512017. To give in Naira, you can send to Ecobank Nigeria, account number 554102592. Also, for further inquiries, you can call us on +233-54-594-7132. Or, send us an email via chimdiohahunaministry@gmail.com. Today, remain ever blessed.
Now is your moment of salvation. If you are yet to make the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord and personal Savior, we request that you say this prayer along with many others now. Say this words: Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, I repent of my sins, and ask that you forgive my sins. I believe that you shed your blood on the cross, died for my sins, and rose again in the third day. Today, I invite you into my life today. Wash me by your blood, make me your own, until eternity be my Lord and personal Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name. We believe you were blessed listening to this teaching from God's Word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Beloved, remain connected to Grace Life Komi Podcast. Jesus is Lord.